And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. This week, I want to revisit a topic that I have done in the past, and it's entitled, Where Are We At in Society Today? This will be the third volume on this topic, and the idiocy that just continues to permeate our society has me flabbergasted. And you know, this title comes from a rant that the former coach of Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy, had to say. He said, where are we at in society? And I thought, that's a pretty good question, because we are, for the most part, a godless nation. And it's so sad that this nation that was founded, I didn't say completely, but it was founded on Christian principles. And there are some that will disagree, but there were Christian principles that led to the founding of the great experiment known as our Constitutional Republic. Were the men who founded this country flawless? No. They were very smart, but they were not flawless. Were they all Christian men? No, I don't think so. No. But a number were, and they had influence. And to see this nation devolve into what we are now is disheartening. And at his January 5th, 1967 inaugural address, this is what Governor Ronald Reagan had to say.
We're at war with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose that war, and in so doing lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to. If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Outside of its legitimate functions, government does nothing as well or as economically as the private sector of the economy." Well, now, if government planning and welfare had the answer, and they've had almost 30 years of it, shouldn't we expect government to read the score to us once in a while? Yet any time you and I question the schemes of the do-gooders, we're denounced as being against their humanitarian goals. They say we're always against things, we're never for anything. Well, the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so. These proliferating bureaus with their thousands of regulations have cost us many of our constitutional safeguards. How many of us realize that today federal agents can invade a man's property without a warrant? They can impose a fine without a formal hearing, let alone a trial by jury. And they can seize and sell his property at auction to enforce the payment of that fine. Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. We cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement, and this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face. that their policy of accommodation is appeasement, and it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
How poignant. This was 1967, almost 60 years ago. Ronald Reagan had this to say. And we are leading our children into the darkness because we don't stand up for what we know is right. Now, I want to revisit what Mr. Reagan had to say at the beginning. He was talking about the Cuban refugee. And Americans will admit, at least those that have an ounce of self-introspection, that we don't appreciate all of the freedoms that we have. We have given up a bunch in the name of safety. I will admit that. But we are still the freest nation on earth. But we are giving it away piece by piece. And the refugee from Cuba said, how lucky was I that I had a place to escape to? There are a number of refugees from Cuba, other communist countries that have assimilated and become American citizens. And they claim that we don't understand how good we have it because we were born into this. And these people are terrified of the Democrat socialists that are beginning to take offices in local, state, and federal government positions, elected positions. The barbarians are at the gate, and we are allowing them free entry. And the Democrats claim that they have a utopian society, that everything will be perfect. That is such a misnomer. If anybody has dared to look up the definition of utopia, kind of like equity doesn't equal to equality. But utopia defined is no place. No place. Goodness. Thank you, Mr. Reagan. I'm not 100% Reagan fan, but what he had to say there really struck a chord. And I wanted to play that for you just to set the tone for this program. Now, Donald Trump, in his first administration, back in 2018, made a lot of liberals in the media, in Hollywood, made them pretty upset when he claimed that Haiti and other countries of their ilk were called, he called them an S-hole. They were a S-hole country. And they were up in arms that he would denigrate these countries. Well, Conan O'Brien, on his TV show back in the day, he held up a onesie that had printed on it, Haiti is great already. You know, Bill Clinton, George Herbert Walker Bush, after the devastation that happened in Haiti, created their foundation, and they were raising money to help the poor people of Haiti. It didn't make it to Haiti. It is a dung heap of a country, which is why so many Haitians, when they had the chance under Biden, flocked to America. At least they had a place to live. A bunch of celebrities got on the Haiti is already great bandwagon. But a judge has ruled that the temporary protected status has come to an end. And now, Haitians and other migrants that were under this TPS are being told to head home, go home. And now, the liberals in the media are up in arms that these Haitians are having to go back to Haiti, their home country. Geraldo Rivera, of all the jackwagons out there to make a comment, he did it on Twitter or X on August 9th of 2026. He said, quote, "Expelling Haitian immigrants is sending them straight to hell," close quote. Geraldo, is it a dung heap or not? You said it was a great place already. And it could be if they got rid of all the thuggery and the criminals that are in positions of power. They have lived in America. They have seen what can happen when the people are in charge, well, allegedly. That's the plan anyway. It doesn't necessarily work that way. But if they have studied our constitutional republic, they should know that the people have the power. Those in the government work for them. And they could go home and they could overthrow the thugs, the punks, the criminals, and institute a constitutional republic. And they could clean it up. But do they want to work that hard? No. Because here, they're in the land of milk and honey. They're getting welfare and food stamps and assisted living and free phones and free health care and the potential to vote Democrat, illegally or not. And that's why the demon rats are so upset about the TPS being lifted. Here we go. Let's go to this one. Ward Clark from Red State wrote an outstanding piece. You know, Biden let millions of unvetted illegal aliens come across our border. Tens of millions. Since Trump has gotten back in office, our federal law enforcement has been trying to rectify this issue. Ward Clark wrote, quote, "The repatriation of illegal aliens from the United States to wherever they came from is still ongoing, and it seems to be picking up. July reports indicate that Immigration Customs Enforcement broke all previous records for arrests of 51,000. Things are moving in the right direction," close quote. Some of those who have been taken into custody are here illegally from Mexico, our southern neighbor. And they have been deported. But they have not been deported back to Mexico. And if you think about it, this kind of makes sense. Because if we send them back across the border, and I don't know if we send them very deep or if we send them to Monterey or somewhere right there near the border, they're going to sneak back in. So the smugglers, the coyotes that are getting them in, are getting paid twice to get them in this country illegally. And I have heard stories of illegals from Mexico turning themselves into immigration because a family member was having a baby or there was a wedding or there was something that needed to be done at home, and they would get a free ride back to Mexico, take care of business, and then come back across the border illegally. I've heard stories about this from friends. But in order to keep this from becoming a revolving door border, Trump and his administration are sending the illegals from Mexico to Guatemala and Honduras. CBS News was nonplussed by this. CBS News reported, quote, "The Trump administration has been quietly deporting migrants from Mexico to different countries in Central America, despite the Mexican government's willingness to accept the return of all its citizens." Mexico's foreign ministry commented, quote, "The government of Mexico accepts the return of all its nationals. It therefore rejects the deportation of Mexican nationals to third countries and has no such agreement in place," close quote. Well, Think about this. Mexico provides its citizens a little handy-dandy list on how to enter the U.S. illegally. It also teaches them how to take full advantage of our welfare and education system. Mexico doesn't want these people back. All they want to do is complain about Trump's deportation plan. Early in Trump's second term, Guatemala agreed to accept not only its own citizens, but citizens deported from the United States. Doesn't matter where they're from. Adam Isaacson of the left-leaning Washington office on Latin America called the practice, quote, almost punitive, close quote. Exactly. We don't need a revolving door. It should be punitive. It is against the law. It may be a misdemeanor the first time, but it is against the law to enter this country illegally. And by sending them to Guatemala or Honduras, more power to them. Good on you. Now we go to Oregon. Oregon State University is requiring undergraduates who enrolled in school after the summer of 2025 to complete two different power and oppression courses as part of its core education curriculum. These courses are difference, power, and oppression. In addition to the DPO, or difference, power, and oppression, these participants learn about feminist and critical pedagogies and fundamentals of curriculum transformation, according to Oregon State's website. These courses will prompt students to examine, quote, how systemic power operates through the ascription of difference to reproduce structural inequities and how they and others in their field of study are positioned in relationship to those systems, close quote. Now, Trump allegedly got rid of DEI programs in the education department, but blue states are not following through. You can see the number of trannies that are still competing in sports in some of these blue states. Men playing against girls. I got something on that here in a little bit. Courses that count toward this requirement include, you ready for this? Anti-racism and diversity, equity, and inclusion in practice. Oh boy. Oh, here's a good one. Disney. Gender, race, empire. Another, Inventing Ethnic America. Still another, Biological and Cultural Constructions of Race. And finally, Higher Education Goes Hollywood, Racial Narratives and Student Experiences. Now, there are other schools that are implementing requirements that are similar. It's Yale University School of Drama, the University of Virginia, and Northern Arizona University. Oh, my goodness. If you don't realize that our education system has been usurped by these loonies with this liberal progressive ideology, that right there just affirms it. Let's move to New York State. There are a number of socialists in the state assembly. I know Mom Donnie is a socialist mayor of New York City, but Emily Gallagher is an assemblywoman, which means she's in the legislative branch for the state of New York. And she had a press conference recently. She claims she is a democratic socialist of America. Ms. Gallagher said, quote, most of what we saw were crimes of poverty, people who are stealing things like toothpaste, people who were stealing things like, you know, soap. That means if you're stealing those things, you need them. We are choosing to protect billion-dollar companies like CVS and Walgreens over the people who are struggling to get by. So I would say that the true crime is that there is such incredible wealth disparity in this city that there are people who can be thrown in jail simply for having a biological need. Close quote. It's okay to steal. That's what she's saying. There is the disconnect. Where are we at in society today? Our politicians who have been elected by hook or by crook have a disconnect with reality. This is the timeout movement at its worst. Instead of punishing and disciplining the youth, this woman got through the cracks with some namby-pamby parents and now thinks that stealing is okay. Bible says, thou shalt not steal. But she says it's a need. If it was a need, why did they steal so much and then sell it on eBay? They were looking for drug money. Bet your bottom dollar. Now, Miss Gallagher, on her high and mighty horse, said she is going to continue to push treatment, not jail, for these low-level offenses. New York retailers have spent years dealing with shoplifting and organized retail theft. Many pharmacies have placed everyday products behind lock and key. Why? Because they're losing money. What happens if you lose money? You close the store. Duh. There's a reality check for you. Nobody goes into business to lose money. I wish these idiots would get it. Speaking of idiots, let's talk about these liberal judges who keep turning career criminals free to continue their death, destruction, and mayhem and assault on the American public, the honest, law-abiding citizens. This is in California. An American is dead at the hands of an illegal alien who has a long criminal record. This far-left California judge let him out. Todd Stewart, 68-year-old man, was stabbed in his front yard in Martinez, California. The assailant, allegedly, was Marcos Iriarte Valdez. He came here from Venezuela illegally. Iriarte Valdez has been connected to several burglary cases in Orinda back in April. On August 4th, he was rearrested for violating a home detention monitoring rule. Contra Costa Superior Court Judge Nichelle Holmes needs to be arrested, needs to be charged as an accessory to murder. She was appointed by Gavin Newsom in 2024. She released this jackwagon on his own recognizance on August 5th, and Mr. Stewart was dead the next day. She needs to be charged as an accessory to murder. Plain and simple. There should be no allowing her because she was appointed to a judgeship to escape punishment. She's the reason this guy's dead. She let this criminal out on personal recognizance. Come on, give me a break. Here's another one. A migrant, an illegal from Ghana, has been arrested at least 3 times in the last 2 weeks. For sexually assaulting women in Oklahoma. Oklahoma, you need to do better. He pled no contest to breaking and entering in Oklahoma County earlier this year. We're talking 2026. And the court issued him an official immigration warning. This guy has nearly 2 dozen arrests since 2022. He needs to be sent home to Ghana. Get him out of here. Protect the citizens. Goodness, how hard is that to understand? Now we go to Virginia, Spanberger country. Boy, they have gone deep blue. They are so far gone. Virginia is a beautiful state. I got a buddy named Sledge lives out there. Sledge, I'm sorry, brother. But Virginia has gone to hell in a handbasket. They keep electing all these libtards into the governorship, rhinos into the governorship. The Commonwealth is in dire straits. This is a mental institute gave an accused killer an unsupervised 48-hour weekend pass. His name is Abduloy Toshpuladzada, and I butcher these names, I'm sorry. There was a court order stating, quote, he shall not be released from custody an inpatient hospitalization without further order of this court. Close quote. And they gave him a 48-hour weekend pass. You know what this guy did? He headed straight to Dulles International Airport. He bought a one-way Turkish Airlines ticket to Istanbul, and then he continued on his journey to Dushanbe, Tajikistan. He has not come back. He will not come back. This is yet another failure of the Democrat-run mental health and criminal justice system in Virginia. So this guy, Tush Palazada, in 2019 stabbed his roommate and landlord in the Vienna, Virginia home that he was renting space in. He confessed to killing this guy, and he was found not guilty by reason of insanity in 2022. On June 11th, and then again on June 29th, both in 2026, Fairfax County Circuit Court Judge Stephen Shannon ruled that Tush Palazada remained mentally ill and in need of inpatient hospitalization. On July 6th of 2026, the Northern Virginia Mental Health Institute let him walk out with a 48-hour pass. This is what happens when you have soft-on-crime prosecutors. This is what happens when you prioritize treatment and release over public safety and basic accountability. But wait, there's more. U.S. District Judge Anthony Trenga, a George W. appointee, blocked the Department of Homeland Security from obtaining 17 million commercial driver's license records. He says he needs more time to consider the motion to quash the subpoenas. Why is Homeland Security looking for these commercial driver's license records? At least 30 people have died on our highways thanks to illegal alien semi-truck drivers in the past year. I've reported on this in the past. New York, California, two of the worst offenders, giving illegal aliens who cannot speak the language, cannot decipher the street signs, have killed Americans with their big rigs. So Trump set out an executive order called Freedom Haulers Initiative, where he wants to license veteran truck drivers and crack down on illegal alien truck drivers. But that's not because it's Trump. Trump man, orange man bad. Trump derangement. I'm not a fan of Trump. I have said that over and over again. But the fact that 21 blue state attorneys general, along with the District of Columbia, filed a lawsuit to challenge the records request. We need to get these illegal aliens from behind the wheel of these dangerous trucks. They are weapons, and they're killing tax-paying citizens. How hard is that to understand? I don't get it. The idiocy is reigning supreme in this nation. Get them off our highways. Get them out of our country. And if criminals are guilty of a heinous crime, lock them away. If you don't want to spend taxpayer dollars on them, put them in Old Sparky. They are a bane on this society. I know that's harsh. But they are not productive and contributing members of society. They are a drain and a bane on this country. Now, we could ship them off to El Salvador, the prison down there. They said they'll take them. Maybe they would reform. Probably not, because they're criminals. But it's an option that we should probably investigate. That's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for giving me a little bit of your time. I have to take a brief pause. When I come back, I'm going to dive right back into where are we at in society. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book that we are offering through the ministry. It's entitled America's Cultural Revolution, how the radical left conquered everything. In his powerful book, Christopher F. Ruffo uncovers the hidden history of left-wing intellectuals and activists who systematically took control of America's institutions to undermine them from within. America's Cultural Revolution finally answers many of the questions that normal Americans have. These include, why is nearly every major corporation bending the knee to a far-left agenda? How did DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, suddenly become the department no institution can continue without? Why is race the main thing America's rich white elite want to talk about? When did the left adopt all this doublespeak, saying progress is a lack of progress, equality is not equality, speech is violence, and violence is speech? Has the goal of the left for a century actually been the destruction of every Western institution? Readers may not know the names of Herbert Marcuse, Angela Davis, and Derrick Bell, but they will recognize the ideas they spread, how their radical, destructive ideology slowly worked its way from prisons to academia to classrooms to your human resources department will come as a shock. Failing to act soon, Mr. Ruffo warns, could allow the radical left to achieve their ultimate objective, replacing constitutional equality with a race-based redistribution system overseen by bureaucratic diversity and inclusion officials. Most Americans don't want this, but most Americans are no longer in control of our institutions. If the mainstream media's depiction of a failing dystopia in need of a fresh start never sounded right to you, this expose and call to arms is the book you've been looking for. America's Cultural Revolution, How the Radical Left Conquered Everything. 352-page hardback book. We're only asking $32. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $38 for this outstanding book. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those charge cards at our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for the book right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method. Hit submit, we'll get it and get it coming to you. If you want to send in a check or money order or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy. You can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. America's Cultural Revolution, explosive book. You need a copy. Order yours today. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Today we are discussing, where are we at in society today? Big question. I think you already know the answer. Let's move on to Portland, Oregon. Oregon, a bastion of blue. Idiocy reigns supreme on the left coast. And it's mainly everything that borders the Pacific Ocean. Is there something in the ocean that causes this idiocy to ferment in the brains and rot it out of these people? You have to wonder. A career criminal in Portland, Oregon, has a lengthy record of burglaries and theft. He has filed a $10 million civil lawsuit against a property owner because he used excessive force. This is idiocy supreme, is it not? Goodness. This guy's name is Kenneth Boyles. He's homeless. He had methamphetamines in his system when he broke into this business. Now, the business owner had a place in the back where he lived. He lived on premises. And this guy breaks into the business with the sole intent of robbing the place. He admitted he was there to rob the place. He pulled off plywood that was on a damaged garage door. He cut through metal bars, and he got into this place of business. He was not there to look at countertops. He was there to rob it. When he got inside the building, the owner, James Grant, who is an Army veteran and has a concealed carry weapons permit, saw him, and he said, "Stop. Get on the ground," according to court records. And this guy grabbed a pair of bolt cutters, and Mr. Grant said that he felt threatened. He was charging at him with these bolt cutters raised above his head. Now, Mr. Voiles claims something else, but he's a drug addict and a career criminal. Of course he's going to lie. But it's alleged that he was trying to leave, and Mr. Grant shot him 3 times. Mr. Grant was not charged because he acted in self-defense, according to law enforcement. Mr. Voiles pleaded no contest and received 5 years in drug treatment instead of prison time. This guy's got a long criminal record. Lock him up. Put him away. Get him out of society. He's homeless. Give him 3 hots and a cot. Get him off the street so he doesn't put law-abiding citizens in harm's way. But no, thanks to our backwards civil lawsuit system, this guy's suing for $10 million. He wants $5 million in compensatory damages and $5 million in punitive damages because of emotional distress. Come on. Can you imagine what this jackwagon's going to do with $10 million and all the methamphetamines and coke and weed and heroin and whatever else is on the street out there in Portland? Good night, nurse. Idiocy. Here's another idiot judge. On August 13th, Melissa Ferris of Kentucky allegedly turned the World War II memorial into her personal stage. She spray painted, quote, "Clean hands, dirty dollar sign," close quote, across the Atlantic Pavilion. She splattered the site with additional paint. She poured a soapy substance into the fountain that sent bubbles cascading over the memorial to 16 million Americans who had served in World War II. Here's the kicker. She did Facebook Live. She live streamed this desecration of this monument. And this bleeding heart judge, a U.S. magistrate by the name of Matthew J. Charbaugh, rejected arguments from the prosecution and cut her loose with conditions that include staying out of Washington except for court appearances, staying away from the memorial, surrendering her passport, and reporting to pretrial supervision. In her video, Ferris declared she was cognitively aware of her actions and claimed she was a whistleblower trying to force her case into court. A loony leftist, wouldn't you say? In videos leading up to this attack, she called herself a homeless freedom fighter. In one of her videos, Ferris apologized for the crime she committed and claimed she has autism and ADHD. Maybe she needs to be committed into a mental institution. She live streamed her graffiti on a World War II memorial and then got off with a hand slap before the trial. Goodness. Here's more nuttiness. I know that not many people tune into the WNBA. I mean, they're not even turning into the NBA, let alone the women's NBA. But they have created a stir. A number of them have stated that they would welcome transgender dudes on their team. That's right. They want to let dudes play in the WNBA. Well, there is a former NBA player who became a United States citizen, loves this country because we are somewhat free. He would know the difference between oppression and the freedom that we have in this country. His name is Enos Kanter. I think he changed his name to Enos Kanter Freedom. Well, on August 7th, he posted on X, quote, "After careful consideration and reviewing the current eligibility guidelines, I'm officially declaring myself a WNBA prospect. If simply declaring who you are is all that's required, I meet every single requirement necessary to compete in the WNBA. I'm simply asking that the current rules be applied equally to everyone. The rules that represent the very values many WNBA players and coaches have publicly advocated for." That was the first post. On August 12th, 5 days later, he posted, quote, "The WNBA says a woman is anyone who claims to be one. So if I say I'm a woman, you have to accept it. Those are the rules the WNBA created. Why does anyone get to decide whose journey is real and whose isn't? Who gets to judge? Rules are rules." Close quote. 6 days later on August 18th, quote, "Now listen to me very carefully. So far, I've spoken with 2 former NBA players, 3 G League players, 3 European players. They have all said that if the WNBA doesn't change the rules, they're ready to join the movement and are considering coming out as women and putting their names in the 2027 WNBA draft." Get this. Mr. Kanter says, quote, "The G League players earn $45,000 a year, while the top WNBA players earn $1.4 million. These, quote, men, unquote, could earn an extra $1.355 million a year just by identifying as a woman. Rules are rules." This is epic. He is using their liberal logic against them. It's beautiful. Mastercraft. Because they cannot define what a woman is on the left. The commissioner, the WNBA itself cannot they had a meeting to define what a woman is after Kanter posted all this. And they still cannot decide what is a woman. Forrest Gump said it best, stupid is as stupid does. Now, there is a potential roadblock because the collective bargaining agreement between the Players Association and the WNBA expires in October. And if they don't ratify a new CBA, there may not be a WNBA after the playoffs of this year. We'll see. I'll be watching in the news. I'm not watching that garbage. It just does nothing for me. If I wanted to watch basketball like that, I could go to high school or middle school. But that's my personal opinion, and I'm entitled to that because I'm an American. Here is somebody's personal opinion. I don't have to dig hard to find the idiocy that's out there. This was an article in the Gateway Pundit by Cassandra McDonald. A West Hartford, Connecticut Board of Education member argued that black teachers deserve higher pay because it's an extra burden to be black. Yeah. Her name is Latoya Yagaloff. She is the Democrat vice chair of the West Hartford, Connecticut Board of Education. Now, this meeting appears to have taken place in December of 2025. But libs of TikTok on Twitter, X, found this video clip and posted it. And it went viral. Of course it did. I want you to hear Ms. Yagaloff in her words.
So I know we have like some efforts to increase diversity in the district. So I'm wondering, especially around administration, are there financial incentives for Black and Brown people to work here? Quite frankly, to be a Black and Brown teacher and administrator in the district. And I know we have an Office of Equity and Belonging, so I'm sure we can figure it out. We got money.
We got money. Yeah, let's waste taxpayer dollars to, wait a minute. Hold your horses there, Ms. Yagaloff. If you are demanding pay based on race, that is a very clear case of discrimination. This undermines the equal treatment under the law and the principle of equal pay for equal work. It may be a burden to be a Black or Brown teacher, but it's also a burden to be a white teacher, an Asian teacher. It's a burden to be a teacher, especially since we've taken discipline out of the classroom. We've turned it into a funhouse where anything goes. But to be on this board and promote this idiotic pay increase because of the color of your skin, that's discriminatory. Maybe somebody needs to file a lawsuit against her for discrimination. There you go. Okay, let's move on. Oh, I saw this video. This woman by the name of Kenesha Daly is a special ed teacher at Madera Unified School District in Fresno, California. She has posted videos holding a gun, and she has suggested it's time for Black people to create a Black militia. We need to go shoot some guns and rob some white people. She said this on a video. It's crazy. We need to shoot some guns and go rob some white people. Well, it didn't take long for these videos to make their way to the Madera Unified School District. She is the special ed teacher at Lincoln Elementary School. She has been placed on leave and has a temporary restraining order against her. We need to create a Black militia, get some guns, shoot some guns, and go rob some white people. I don't get the racism. And I don't get it from any angle. Because God is no respecter of persons. The reason that we have rampant racism, one of them, is because we are not a biblical society. Not anymore. Oh no, we jumped that shark a long time ago. Barack Obama did his level best to divide the races. And it gave the racists carte blanche to say stupid stuff like this and think that they are immune from any repercussion for the idiocy. So I throw a lot of this on Barack Hussein Obama, but most of it goes on those weak-kneed, namby-pamby preachers who fail to teach the whole counsel of God's word. Oh, man. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's go to Dearborn, Michigan. If you have done any kind of digging into Dearborn, you know that it is, well, it's majority Arab and heavily Muslim. The police chief in Dearborn is Issa Shaheen. He posted a video message that urged residents to stay away from their August 18th, just this week, city council meeting because, quote, anti-Islam protesters, including activists from a Christian Crusader march and their Stop Islamification, are expected to show up and exercise their First Amendment rights. Yeah, they're not pro-Muslim. These are Christians. Shaheen claims the expected demonstrators are coming to provoke residents, to manufacture a confrontation, and generate publicity. I would hope so. Not start any fights. We don't need confrontation, but we need the publicity to show how radical Dearborn, Michigan has become. There are outdoor Islamic calls to prayer that blast through neighborhoods every day. The mayor, Abdullah Hamoud, told a Christian resident he was not welcome in the city. In America. Weeks ago, Jake Lang, who is an activist, was attacked during the city's Arbaeen procession, which is an event that featured flags of U.S.-designated terrorist groups. He was assaulted. And I talked about this with Sandra at the office. The fact that our First Amendment, where we have freedom of religion, is being taken advantage of by the Muslims. They have a right to their religion, to exercise their religion. But because of the teachings in the Quran, they want to instill Sharia law. They don't believe in the Constitution. They don't believe in America's laws. The only laws that matter to them are in the Quran. And one of them says that if you meet an infidel, you give them a chance to convert to Islam. And if they refuse, you kill them. You kill the infidel. This mostly peaceful religion, as CNN would report it, will rise up. The consequences are going to be dire. I want to go to Tucson, Arizona now. I love this story. It's kind of funny, but it points out the problem that this country has right now. She's labeled an elderly woman. She pulled a handgun, and she chased after a shoplifter who ran out of the Ross store as the alarm was blaring, and he fled with multiple bags of stolen merchandise. A shoplifter. And she was trying to stop him. Well, he was faster than Grandma. The Tucson police confirmed they are investigating the incident as a shoplifting case. There have been no arrests as of today. But authorities and legal experts are warning bystanders not to intervene, and that drawing a gun on a shoplifter could get you charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Yes. But the more brazen these thugs, these punks, these thieves get, the more prices go up because the business has to recoup the cost somewhere. Citizenry is going to react. And it's not going to be positive. This dude got lucky that Grandma didn't discharge her weapon. Chances are she's probably a pretty good shot. I'm surprised they didn't arrest her for carrying concealed if she whipped it out of her purse, unless she had a license. Employees are given a handbook when they start at these retail stores, and they have guidelines on how you treat a shoplifter. According to Michelle Almer, the executive director of the Arizona Retailers Association, quote, large corporations and most of the small ones have told their employees do not engage. Their lives and their safety is more important to us than the product, close quote. But Ms. Almer also notes that violence against loss prevention staff has been on the rise in this industry. Criminal's going to criminal. Thieves going to steal. How do you stop them? If we don't prosecute, if we don't incarcerate, if we don't teach them when they're young that thou shalt not steal, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? I don't know. It starts in the home. And you can't rationalize it and say, well, you know, little Johnny was hungry, so he stole 40 pairs of tennis shoes so he could sell them on eBay so he could go out to dinner. No, that's rationalization. And some will say, well, that's reparations for slavery. Little Johnny hasn't been a slave. Sorry, that doesn't apply either. Does not compute. Not in reality. So little Johnny should be going to school, getting an education, learning a trade, or going into higher education and becoming a productive member of society instead of running around stealing stuff and selling it off and getting something for nothing. Therein lies the problem. Well, there was a report about a man that was assaulting women in North Carolina. I saw a headline one day, and then I kind of dug in and found this article in the Gateway Pundit written by Jordan Conradson. His name is Daquan Hunt. He has a lengthy rap sheet. He has been arrested for randomly assaulting women in Dilworth, North Carolina. His sister, and she requested anonymity, but his sister said that left-wing judges keep releasing him despite pleas from the family to get him in an institution. Daquan has been arrested at least 14 times. He has been seen in viral videos he recorded attacking and chasing white women in North Carolina. In one video, he's seen screaming at a woman unprovoked before knocking her unconscious and continuing to scream at and hit her unconscious body. North Carolina is known for setting repeat offenders free to commit more crimes. Remember the case of DeCarlos Brown Jr.? He murdered 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee Irina Zarutska on the East-West Boulevard light rail station, stabbing her multiple times. He was a career criminal. Should not have been in public, but he was set free. Now, getting back to Mr. Hunt, recent convictions and lenient punishments include June 2019, pleaded guilty to discharging a weapon in an occupied property and felony probation violation, sentenced to 36 months in prison, and the sentence was suspended. August 2024, convicted of breaking and entering, injury to personal property, misdemeanor probation violation. He received 90 days in jail and credit for time served. September 2025, convicted of disorderly conduct, sentenced to 11 days in jail, credit for time served. November 2025, convicted of assaulting an officer, sentenced to 6 days in jail, credited for time served. December 2025, convicted of assault with a deadly weapon and carrying a concealed weapon, sentenced to 89 days in jail, and received credit for time already served. There is the problem. He is escalating. And these judges are turning him loose on the people. Where is the disconnect in reality? Should these judges that are turning out these criminals and setting them free, going super lenient, should the prosecutors as well, who were advocating for these plea deals for leniency, should they all be held as accessories for these assaults, for these sexual assaults, for these murders? I think so. Until we get some sensibility back on the bench, until we get rid of Soros bought and paid for district attorneys, and we start punishing the criminals, locking them up, putting them where they need to be and out away from honest, law-abiding citizens, this is going to get worse and worse. Eventually, like what happened in Tucson, vigilantes are going to come out of the woodwork. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen. And we will become a lawless society like we were in the Wild Wild West. And I don't even think we were as wild as they have portrayed. But we could be worse than the portrayals that we've seen on the big screen. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.